We're joined now in the studio by Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, who has already put in a full week, half week in. How are you?
I'm good. A lot of good things going on this week. As you see, we all try to get to those big decisions before people break for the holiday season and the end of the year.
So what should residents expect to see from that Legion Road property? I know there was the vote that was unanimous to authorize Roger Stansel to go forward with the contract, assuming the American Legion approves it. But then there was the amendment that Michael Parker offered saying, well, it's not necessarily going to be a 36-acre park. It'll be some of a park. Maybe we do something else with it as well. But what can we expect to see?
So there'll be a process. We like our processes to include some more input on all that. Right now, it was just a negotiation to purchase the property. And I feel very excited that we turned a situation that was kind of overwhelming for a lot of individuals into a win-win for both parties. I see this as a progressive and positive thing. The council was adamant that it was going to spend some time investigating if any commercial opportunity on the front part of the property that faces Legion Road was a pairing so that we could recoup some of that money back. But the majority of the park, majority of the property will be some kind of park public facility. I've seen some of the stuff floating around there. The goal was to take a look at what the town needs were. We learned that lesson in Boulder, as we said, about land banking so that we have time to plan. We have time to plan. We're going to make a plan. We're not going to just launch into full-scale rezoning, redevelop. That's not the plan. There isn't a plan yet. We have time to plan.
So just talking about we've been talking about the tax base in Orange County and the commercial tax base and trying to expand. And then I know one of the things that people were concerned about with the vote to go ahead with the decision to, or go ahead with the contract to buy the land is, we've got this proposal on the table for 400 units, commercial space, flex space, all of which would have added to the tax base. And whatever we do down the road, some of that land is going to be park space and not included in the tax base. It's not going to be generating property revenue. So what can we do to expand the tax base over and above this?
On that property or in general?
Both, actually,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, in general, I am looking for those commercial opportunities that help bring more to the tax base than a multifamily residential does, and brings jobs. I mean, those are crucial. We want people to be able to live, play, and work here in their own community. We want those jobs. We want those. So we're working really heavily with the university and other interested parties on where we can put those commercial spaces, where they make sense, on the major corridors. We have another proposal up at the Millhouse Road area that you saw that came forward for trying to capture some of that spinoff energy and those things that are created and can blossom here and grow. Right now, if you have a business in Chapel Hill, it's very hard to grow and stay here. So we're looking for those kinds of opportunities. The Wegmans deal, that's a huge commercial opportunity. It brings not only property tax base, but it brings sales tax in. So that's a win-win too. So we're looking at those opportunities. We're trying to make sure, though, that we keep Chapel Hill a livable place. So that's another reason for looking at our needs for park space. This timing of this opportunity was such that we had to make a choice now or let it go. So we wanted to opt for the now so that we can land bank and figure out what those needs are. We have a parks master plan that will incorporate that information as well, but there'll be a public process. And we don't know how much or who's interested on the Legion side. There is some synergy going on with the Europa Center over there and that model that's worked really well. Maybe that can be something that we look for in the Legion. I'm not talking full scale. No one said anything about strip malls. No, we're not talking about that kind of thing. So we will have a plan. We will have a process.
So speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and I know you've got a list of stuff to
say,
get to, of which this is point number one.
Well,
so,
I will say there was another huge thing on our agenda that night.
Which is Rogers Road.
Well, yeah,
yes.
We moved forward with Rogers Road. This, to me, I'm very passionate, very determined that we were going to take care of what we said we were going to do. Hmm. We've been making promises for 40 years. We actually, that was a huge step forward. We're coming up with a plan. We're having our manager negotiate. We pulled the parties together in the room to have the chairs and mayors together. To have these conversations about let's get moving. And so we're doing that, and that's huge.
Next step on Rogers Road?
So the managers will talk and figure out how we move forward now with that. So it's exciting because it's movement instead of circular, it's forward. So
right.
Really good.
Okay.
We have a plan for financing it. We already have some money put away for doing this from Chapel Hill, but we have a plan to finance how we do this. So that it's not like, oh, it's a great idea. Let's see if we can find the money. We have a plan. It's good.
Do we have a sense of when there will be sewer at Rogers Road?
I don't know the answer to that.
Ballpark year or, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to know, too. I'm
asking
the same questions.
It's great to see movement,
but
every time it's like, oh, there's movement. And we've been saying, oh, there's movement for a long time.
Right, so the engineering plans are in.
Okay.
So it's a matter of getting started, and it's a matter of getting community involvement from Rogers Road neighborhood about, you know, this is going to be very disruptive, as you can imagine, putting this in. So we have to have all that, and that takes time. So I'm hopeful we'll see something happen in this next coming year as far as actual breaking it around, but I can't promise you that. So
okay.
We're trying to see what we can get, but it's movement.
All right. Speaking again with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, I want to get back to the American Legion question, but I know you've got like a ton of stuff to get to because it's been a busy week.
Yes.
So we'll cycle back to that at the end, but what else is going on?
Okay. So I attended the Kauffman Foundation Mayor's Conference on Entrepreneurship down in Florida with a lot of other mayors from across the country. We heard about things that are working, things that need to happen. Innovation is huge, but one thing I think that people don't realize is innovation and entrepreneurship is where all the future of jobs are in this country, not just in our community, but in the country. These small startups, these companies that are growing and coming out of universities and communities are what are the places people are going to work. They're hiring, they're growing, they're changing. Saw the terrific example in Austin, Texas, where one company started there and it has spawned 32 other companies with tens of thousands of people working at these companies. I see something similar for Chapel Hill's future. I want us to be that innovative places to be that's also progressive and inclusive. So we talked a lot about minorities in entrepreneurship, and only 4% of the successful businesses that have launched and are still out there were founded by women. We can do better than that. We can inspire that. So we talked about ways to inspire all kinds of different entrepreneurship and ways that what it looks like. So we're going to be that's going to be a major focus for next year. We're going to look at what we can do. We talked about barriers that towns and cities and states put on, those kinds of things. What are those barriers? How can we get out of the way of some of these things while still having some regulatory control? You don't want to have, you know, dangerous things going on and these kinds of things. So
that also sounds like working with schools, too, and try to get people into the sort of programs that lead to entrepreneurship down the road. Right.
Yeah. Right. And Makerspace. UNC just opened their Makerspace a couple of weeks ago, and that's going to be huge, too. And we're looking at that as a town. Launch is expanding. We're looking at that accelerator space and where we do that and how we make it run and how to get other community partners involved in that. So that's going to be a main focus for next year as we move forward. We're in lockstep with the university and I think the community in wanting to make all this happen. So that it was a really informative conference. I learned a lot. I felt like my head was going to explode.
Anytime you go to Florida, you pretty much feel that way.
Yeah, we were inside. I could have been anywhere. Mayor Lavelle and I attended the Porch open house and book launch and 7th year anniversary celebration on Monday.
Nice.
What an amazing organization made up of people who care in our community to help feed families. And they have a book out called Planting Hope.
Yes.
That was written. You can't see it on the radio. I have it right here.
We talked with, is it signed on the inside? I see a signature.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, from
From Susan Romaine
and the
Debbie
group
Horowitz.
There.
Yeah.
Sign it too. My company helps support one of the snacks at the schools. I very much support everything that Porch does. Very excited. And then Food for the Summer, as you know, is very exciting too.
And we had the author of the book, Sudi, what's her?
It was written by kids for kids.
It was written by kids for kids, but one of the people that were sort of responsible
right,
for sort of
putting in here, I'm going to get all my names mixed up.
It.
I'm so sorry.
And Susan Romaine was in, and we had a little reading from the book, and it's such a great book.
Oh,
it is. It's so beautifully designed, and it's such a great story, and it's definitely worth checking out.
It just really is. The colors are beautiful. The story is wonderful. You get kids together, and they want to talk about planting hope.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
Hope is the name of the seed, right?
I know, but just that whole attitude of planting hope.
Which,
so,
like,
it's wonderful.
Sprouts and just grows more and more and more. So it's a great metaphor, too.
I took the book with me up on Tuesday to Washington, D.C., where I spoke to the No Kid Hungry National Conference, where we got to present our Food for the Summer program and hear about all the other exciting programs that run across our country. There's many different forms of these programs in different places, and everyone is searching how to make this bigger and feed more children. And we talked a lot about the stress on kids when you don't know where your next meal is coming from, and the aggregate of that, of not knowing where your next meals are coming from when you have those long breaks. So it was a great, it was just a great coming together of people who are trying to work really hard. And we heard from the assistant director for food summer feeding programs from the USDA, and she was amazing talking about how this has become, it's a national problem, and it's in huge pockets of our community where kids don't get enough to eat. And it's a distribution problem. It is not that we don't have enough food, it's we don't know how to distribute it well.
Yep.
Heard from another young lady entrepreneur at the mayor's conference back in Florida who developed an app. She's a student from Berkeley who graduated a few years ago to help take excess food from arenas and ball games and all those kinds of places and distribute it to people who need it through nonprofits. And she's doing gangbusters. 800 million tons of food have been delivered in the last 4 years to people who could do that. It was going to the landfill.
Yeah.
This is prepared. This is food.
It's just getting thrown away.
So, and we talk about, we have this food. We just need, and in this day, she said, in this day and age in technology with apps, because their whole program runs on an app where they built these relationships. They get a message at 10:30 at night that the ball game's over and they have 750 extra hot dogs left. So she has groups to go pick them up.
Oh,
and
that's
take
great.
Them.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of things that happen. They take them to places. They have to be food certified and training. But there's a Good Samaritan law out there federally that you, if you don't donate food, you cannot be held liable for any of the problems that stem, so that people can give away. So a lot of food things this week already.
So did you pick up anything from that we can maybe implement
so,
here?
So we were looking at that, and we'll be asking a lot of questions about what big venues do with their excess food and cafeterias, especially the colleges. She got the University of Berkeley to make this change.
Oh,
so
nice.
We're going to take that information and see. She's really busy in the Bay Area right now.
I can imagine. Yeah,
she's expanded from Berkeley all the way through the entire Bay Area, and it was fascinating. The program's called COBIA, the Goddess of Abundance.
Okay.
So COIBA, and I can get in. We'll put some information. Like I said, we just came back on Friday night from that, and trying to figure all that out. We also talked a lot at this Food for the Summer about engaging kids and our community service providers, the police, the firefighters, all that. And some of the communities, the police departments run the programs, which is very, so that they're in the neighborhoods with these kids doing something positive, so that families don't always only see police and fire when there's a bad thing happening. They see them in good times as too. So, and speaking of children, we have the holiday parade this weekend on Saturday.
Yes, I'm going to be there. It's going to be exciting.
Up.
Yes.
It's going to be cold.
38 degrees, but it's going to be nice.
Great.
It's going to be sunny though, so that'll be good. We're not gonna have to worry about rain or snow or anything like that, so that's good.
Yeah, and a couple of council members are coming, and Jess Anderson's bringing her daughter Elena to be out there to
very
help
cool.
And we'll be celebrating with Sparky the dog.
We don't appreciate just the value of sunny weather when we have a parade like this. I was up in Lansing, Michigan for Thanksgiving, and they had just had Silver Bells in the City, which is their really cool, like, big downtown parade, tree lighting. They do fireworks. It's this huge event, but then it like poured rain, and they had these gusts, and they started it, and they had to call it off halfway through. It's like, everyone, quick, go home. We'll do the tree lighting next week. Go, 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 go.
So was this Lansing by chance?
It was Lansing, Michigan.
So the mayor of Lansing was down with me on the phone when all of this was going.
Probably, yeah. Oh, I have no doubt.
He was in Florida where it was bright and sunny with us.
There you go. Yeah, this was like this was a couple weeks ago though.
Yeah.
It was before Thanksgiving.
Too funny.
So yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
No. But anyway, the holiday parade is fun. Come on out. Come check it out. Do remember that the bus routes will be changed during the parade. You can't get down the middle of downtown.
And bring toys, because Toys for Tots is going to be there. So new unwrapped toys, if you got them to donate, come on by and drop those off.
And we're going to have something up on the website for Food for the Summer next week that people can make donations as gifts. And we're looking for trying to do things with that, too, to get started for next year. So if you're interested in helping us out with Food for the Summer, we're going to be gearing that back up so that we're ready and build on what we learned from this last summer. And we do have free parking downtown on Saturdays and Sundays this month of December, and we have those 24 new parking spaces, and we're working on some more. More on that coming. And tonight is our salute to community heroes.
Oh, right, just down the hall.
So we're very excited about that. We
have
our police officer, Mark North, and our firefighter, Jeffrey Ryan, are both getting awards.
Is that from 6 to 8?
It's from 6 to 8 here, and the Jackson Center is also having their celebration over at Northside tonight from 5:30 to 8, so we'll try to do both those things, get out there and do that.
There's always a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. But council's not going to meet again until January 9th. And then we'll be ready to start back with all kinds of things that are on the to-do list for starting for the spring season.
Sounds good. All right. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemmingern, we've got to let you go for a second, but I promised I'd cycle back the American Legion. One more question we talked about, and I think everyone's on board with expanding the town's commercial base. What about housing? We do have, right. You know, we had that proposal on the table for 400 units from Woodfield. That's not going to be there anymore. What is the town of Chapel Hill going to do to get new housing units in there of whatever variety to expand the population? Because we do have that pressure for population growth as well as commercial growth.
So I'm more interested in some affordable housing expansion versus luxury apartments. We do have some more luxury apartment proposals coming before us in the Ephesus Fordham area already, in addition to the ones won't be coming to the Legion area, but there are other proposals that are coming to us in that area as well. So that will be expanding the population. We are putting together, we've been working in our affordable housing department at looking at town properties. We're going to have an asset task force to look at all the town properties to make those considerations of how can we, you know, where are some good fits for some affordable housing that we can bring. We want a diverse community. We want to be able to have multiple different kinds of people live here and different social economics. So we're taking a look at that. And then, to be honest with you, we need to renovate some of our existing affordable housing. So how do we fold that all in to growing this housing base and have more of that balance of affordable versus just more luxury apartments? So that's what the goal is. And in different areas, it works different ways, but it's a fascinating exercise, but it's going to be taking that 90,000 foot view down to the 30,000 foot view, and then what can we actually get done? You know, what does that look like? And I've been saying all along, one of the main reasons I want to expand that commercial tax base is to give us real dollars to do those things we care about, like affordable housing and other social justice issues. We can't keep trying to think we're going to do that on the backs of property owners by raising property taxes, because that just prices people out of our community.
Yep.
So the long goal is to bring some commercial jobs here that help give us those tax dollars.
Again,
townofchapelhill.org.
I'm right. Yes, townofchapelhill. I always second guess myself and say it's
.gov.
Well,
we've tried about the pointers to send the town.gov pointer over to the .org.
Right. All right. Yeah. So townofchapelhill.org. Find out more information there. But again, a lot going on in our community. We'll keep talking about that. And don't miss the holiday parade this Saturday, 10 a.m. It's going to be
a
lot of fun. A
big salute to our community heroes tonight.
Absolutely.
All year long, not just one night. All year long. They keep us safe. They keep us orderly, and they really do embrace the community spirit.
Pam Hemmingern, thank you so much.
Thank you.